and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
True, and we are back. It's New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580 with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Welcome back, sir.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you so much, Ron. On June 11th, 2020, today talking about statistics and what is going on with the economy. Now, so for some of you who love stats, today may be your show, but the bottom line is, what can you do about it? How can it change your life, and or how should it, and how can you possibly react to it for your own personal savings and retirement, which most people are trying to figure out? How are we going to do this, dear? How shall we do this? So today we have with us two, Heidi Thompson and Shay Pataja.
Good morning.
Welcome, ladies.
Morning.
Good morning.
Before we even get started today on the stats, and these numbers are just, they're blowing people away. I'll just go out and say it. He's so radical. I was visiting with a hedge fund guy yesterday, and he was just starry-eyed. He said, I honestly can't believe this. And I said, the same way. That's how I feel. Who would have thought? Now, the market is down this morning, and we talked about it probably going sideways here because it's come up so fast. But yesterday's close, so about 27,000 on the Dow from a low of 18,500 here on March 23rd as measured by the Dow. This market, this stock market, is saying something to us. Talk to me, Dennis. What's it saying? So we'll get to that in a few minutes. Right after we listened to John Sluice, we were speaking with him earlier this week, and he was talking about some of the government programs for business and how that can impact business owners. And we wanted him we wanted Shay to record this with John so that you get some perspective and some help possibly. And he's going to be on...
In 2 weeks.
Thank you, Shay.
And he gives us that accountant's view of these programs.
He does. He's very involved with it and very up to date. And let's listen to this first before we get started on the rest of the stats. If you would, Ron, John Sluice.
Hey, everyone. Shay Pataja. I've got John Sluice in the studio with me for a little check-in, because in conversations with you, John, you are saying that even... when the rules that you gave, the rules, I love that word, the rules, because they're set in stone, a week or even 2 weeks or a month ago, have already changed. So we're going to check in today with you on the EIDL loan and the PPP, because both have changed.
Correct. That the PPP is now the PPFA. So you have the PPP, but the PPFA as well. So we got even more acronyms to throw in there. So... It's
great.
Just fun to keep everyone on their toes.
Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with the EIDL.
Okay.
So the EIDL, if you've heard us talk about that, there was the first phase, which is the grant phase. So the EIDL is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. The first phase was a grant. Interesting enough, it was a loan that they gave out as a grant. So if you as
very confusing,
yes,
by the way,
just to throw
call
it, off,
it
even,
one thing or the other.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if you as a business owner went and applied for the EIDL early on, you'll know who you are. You did it. You went out to the website, to the SBA, to apply for it. If you did, the second phase is here. The true loan phase is here. This is the stimulus section part of it, or this is the part where they want you as a business owner to have available cash flow to make it through this disaster. This is the loan. It's a true loan. But what you need to hear is if you haven't done anything on this and you applied for it early on and you got that grant early on, you should go to your inbox or your junk box or your junk mail. It's likely there. Go look for it. It looks like it's spam. It's coming from the SBA. So search in your spam folder, SBA. It's there. It's real. It's crazy how efficient they've made this on getting this loan and in being able to apply for this and get this loan. But you as a business owner should know it's there. And it's big dollars that are out there. So it ranges between $1,000 up to $150,000 that businesses can be getting. And so it's possible that you as a business can get a loan for $150,000 and you might have it in 3 or 4 days if you qualify. But go look for it if it's there.
What's the interest rate on that loan?
Interest rate is 3.75% for a 30-year loan.
No way.
Yeah, and it's very flexible in what you can use it for. It has to be used for business purposes, but this is the stimulus side of things. So it's designed to give you flexibility to pay the bills that you couldn't have otherwise paid. So maybe you had a supply bill or you had a invoice that you couldn't pay because your revenue's down because you were closed. It's designed for that. It's also designed for you to prompt maybe you're going to do that project that you were going to do anyway, but now COVID-19 has, because you were closed, kind of held you back, reserved you a little bit. Well, now you have the cash to go do that. So it's truly the stimulus side of things. So you might go and buy that piece of equipment that you were looking to do, or maybe that training that you were thinking of going to that you might have held off otherwise, but now you have the cash to do it. So
build that studio you've always wanted to have.
Build the studio. Yes, exactly.
So you just need to keep a record, a very detailed record of how that money was spent, or no, a loan is a loan and you just need to pay that back.
You'll have to keep record of where it was spent, but okay. This is much more flexible than the other programs that are out there. So as long as you're not using it to take a trip to Tahiti or otherwise, if you're using it for business purpose, you'll be able to document what was there. But the key you need to know is if you applied for that EDL or EIDL loan, now they're coming. So in the last week and a half, it's coming into your email. And there's no fancy fanfare on this. There's no one that's going to call you. No banker is going to call you. It's just an email. So if you have not received anything or done anything on it, check. Go look for it because it's probably there.
And look in your junk mail.
Yes.
Just in case.
Yes.
Maybe this is getting way too specific, but do you know the exact email address it comes from?
I don't know that. I could find that out, but I don't know.
I'm just curious because that's how I would search it.
Yeah. I'd search for SBA.
Search for SBA. Yep. Okay. And then second, the PPP has a
It's expanded. Yes. So okay. What happened here was there are lobbyist groups that were out there that said, look, we can't spend the dollars in time. So the restaurant industries and a few other industries said, we can't be open, so we can't be spending dollars right now. And so how do we hit this? And so the PPP, if you receive that, you'll recognize that you had 8 weeks to spend that payroll. Well, these businesses said, well, we can't spend the payroll in 8 weeks. How mm-hmm. are you expecting us to do this? Mm-hmm. And so they came out and the legislation and the administration approved this, that they extended the 8 weeks into 24 weeks. And they also made lax a lot of the restrictions. One example would be before you had to have so many individuals rehired by June 30th. Mm-hmm. They've now expanded that to December 31st. So
Whoa.
You have a lot longer. So it's become much more flexible. So what you have to hear is if you've received the PPP, talk to your financial advisor, your accountant, to make sure that if you're making specific plans, like so say you, part of that plan was you were thinking of a bonusing your employees here to, in order to spend the dollars, that push is now gone. You want to make plans on what you're going to be using with it, but just know that there's a lot more flexibility out there. Also know that if you didn't get the PPP early on because you were afraid that maybe you weren't going to be able to spend the dollars, the funds are still available, so go potentially apply for it. That's where I'm really seeing this. So if you're a small business, if you're a Schedule C, and you're a small business owner and you did not apply for the PPP because you weren't quite sure whether it was going to make sense or not, it even more makes sense now. Or if you are on the fence on you not knowing if you're going to be able to truly use those dollars by June 30th, now it makes sense to potentially go get them. So give your accountant a call to see whether or not it makes sense to get the PPP.
So. I mean, this has just been so interesting. We are getting new information. Information seems to contradict itself day to day. So I think people are getting a little exhausted trying to keep up, especially if they're business owners. I have a lot of empathy for the business owners out there trying to figure this out for their employees, too. And one way they can stay in touch with you and stay in the know is that you've been doing webinars every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. So if you sign up on their website, you can get the notification when the webinar is, what it's going to be about, and then you can log in and watch. And it's really, it is really great just to get that updated information. So that's John Sluice. You are with Intrust Solutions or CPA.
Intrust CPA.
Intrust CPA. I always add words to things. It's okay. My tendency. It's sorry. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and check out his Facebook page. If you like that, you can follow that there. And on the Prout Financial Design Facebook page, I've been sharing the webinars every week too. So just to keep people in the loop.
It's changing so much, and so that's what we're just trying to do, is to get the information out as quickly as we can, as effective as we can. I've now started saying, well, as of today at 3:44, here's the information, and here's what accurate it may, or here's its accuracy. It may change tomorrow. We don't know, but that's, it's keeping up with that information. So
that's true. You need to timestamp all of your everything you share,
and it's no longer by the week. It's now by the day and by the hour. It's crazy on how fast it's changing.
And for the record, it is 4:14 p.m. on Tuesday, June 9th, that
we are
having
pre-recording this,
conversation.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, thanks, John, and we'll have you back.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. That was recorded, obviously, on Tuesday, June 9th. Today, we're live Thursday at 10:19, unless you're listening to the rebroadcast Saturday morning.
Just to make sure people are listening.
That's a lot of qualifiers.
Well, that is a lot of qualifiers. Well, we really do appreciate you doing that with John Shea to just to keep people updated on what's going on. And that is an ever-moving target, given what's happened with the PPP program. All of a sudden, moving from 8 weeks to 24 weeks in terms of a qualifier for business. Huge change. More money. As an adjunct to that, the Federal Reserve Bank is in the process of spending an amount of money equal to nearly 40% of GDP. 40% of GDP. So our gross domestic product is in the range of $21 trillion, give or take. 40% of that, we're going to say, is $8 trillion, $8 to $9 trillion.
Well, they said
huge
the,
amounts of money.
Debt's up to $26 or $27 trillion now.
Hmm. Well, you know, I had not looked at that number here recently, Ron. That's very interesting.
Trillion.
And the U.S. Congress will spend an amount equal to, this is about 35% of GDP, so another $7 trillion. So we can just say 15 to 16 trillion is being spent or has been spent to overcome the COVID-19 issue within the U.S. economy.
And you still have state government, county government, and schools saying, we want more, we want more.
Yeah, many schools right now in the state of Michigan are having trouble getting funding. So that's interesting as well. There are some gaps that are going on out there that they're going to have to figure out how to fill in terms of regular public services that we might otherwise think never have an issue. That's interesting. And Shea's going to interact with the stats because her Shea stats kind of interact with my Shea stats. So, or her Shea stats interact with Dennis's stats.
It's going to be
morning.
A very confusing show,
it's
but it will be
confusing
fun.
Confusing indeed. The personal savings rate has gone parabolic. A personal savings rate as a percentage of disposable personal income has gone to excess of 30%. So because the expenses have sort of so dramatically declined, I mean, we're going to only buy so many lawnmowers. And if you can't go there, I mean, what are you going to do, Ron?
I need a
lawnmower.
You have
to wait to buy that lawnmower.
So well, you're saying savings is up or down?
Savings is up significantly to a range virtually, I think, unseen. Since 1959, it totally eclipsed it. Now, 1959 goes back, I think, gosh, that's almost 60 years, right?
So you're saying
just to
that,
make sure people are listening. Right?
Yes. People were locked in and the stores were closed, so you couldn't.
And they got all
money.
This cash, all okay. this PPP program.
Spending
stuff
dropped
coming
by
in.
The trillions per month. So this is a long stat. I don't want to get into how it dropped each month. But if the spending continues to drop for the next consecutive 12 months, that would equal that every American household would reduce their out-of-pocket spending by $15,000 in
$15,000 this year. So people are spending less, saving more, and I find that to be encouraging, considering the amount of debt we're going into as a nation, that people are holding on to those checks that they received.
Is that so? In essence, what you're saying, Shay, is that there's been a wealth transition from government to people. Now, the next question will be, how long will it take them to claw it back?
Well, from the government, which I guess, yeah, they printed it. So they've, for the wealth transfer, it was wealth that was never created. It was wealth that was never earned. It was wealth that was printed and then transferred to the people.
But printed nonetheless.
Yeah.
Indeed. So now, isn't that interesting?
And I think it's not only just spending that people cut down on. It's also that fear comes in. And when you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know what the future is, you know, I think your natural instinct is, I've got to hold on to what I have right now, and I can't continue the way I've been going. So that might have been part of that impact as well.
And household net worth went way up, and I think it's all these personal financial advisors talking about this on the radio. So people are saving more money these days and increasing their net worth through their 401k, 403b,
but if they're not spending
IRAs,
the money, then businesses
are going into savings, and a business gets hurt.
Yeah,
because we do depend on consumer spending in this economy, do we not?
We do.
Nobody expected the huge upside surprise. Here's another huge surprise. Just referencing this a bit, this is a quote from Howard Marks of Oak Tree Capital Management. Human beings want to feel that they're on a power walk into the future, when in fact they're always just tapping their canes on the pavement in the fog. That's an interesting picture, isn't it? Nobody expected. No one expected the huge upside surprise in last Friday's payroll report. Now, I recognize that that's yesterday's news. What is the news cycle today now? Like 16 hours?
Yeah.
It's crazy short. But that was a huge shocker. Remember all the economists like, what was that number? You know, it was supposed to increase and it actually declined. No one had predicted that. Zero. Which sent the stock market rocketing sharply higher. Sharply. And no one predicted that either. How many people back in March do you know, Ron, personally, that said the stock market's going to go to 27 in a couple, 3 months?
Well,
Dennis Prout didn't say that. Where was he anyway? Jeez. Nightmare scenario from Mohammed El Arian. He used to help manage for PIMCO. What is really striking is if you look at continuing claims, they went up, not down. He's talking about unemployment claims. And he is a... he tends to be a little negative, I think, but it's interesting nonetheless. That number may be somewhat of an anomaly. Given that the stock market is looking parabolic, just thinking about it from a true statistical standpoint, it's probably gotten ahead of itself. And today's market is showing it, and it probably declined somewhat. Now, the other interesting thing is interest rates declining at heretofore unexpected, impossible rates. And Shay has something to add to that.
I have a stat on that. So the average interest rate nationwide for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage fell to 3.15% on Thursday, May 28th of 2020, the lowest ever recorded in U.S. history. That means home buyers would pay just $430 per month in principal and interest payments for every $100,000 borrowed.
Does it say what the 15-year rate is?
It doesn't, and that's a Freddie Mac stat.
So the markets, you know, NASDAQ hit a record high yesterday.
It did.
The Dow and the S&P made up a lot of ground, right?
Yes.
But now they're falling off the shelf again. Dow's like, as we speak, at 10:30 on this Thursday. What is it, the day today?
The 11th.
The 11th. The Dow's down 918 now.
Yeah.
So all of that reversed because the Fed, said they're not going to raise interest rates, and there were more unemployment applications than they expected. And Dr. Fauci thinks, or he says there might be, or what could happen, is a second wave or something.
So. Tony, you're hurting me, man. I can't help it. Yeah, so Anthony Fauci and or any types of information. They tend to grasp at what caused this. But as we said, the market probably got ahead of itself. It got bit up a little too high, and it's correcting with any negative news that might be perceived negative. And it probably got a bit overpriced. Is this an opportunity? It could be if you're putting money in and if you're reinvesting dividends. And the other thing is, why would I do anything right now? Perhaps, depending on where you're invested. It could mean an opportunity for those who are attempting to reallocate and or rejigger, if you will, some of their portfolio to more match what it is their goals are into the future, given this huge liquidity injection that's been put into the economy.
Do you recall a time when the market was up and down by such large gains and losses? It'd be up 250, down 150, up 300, down 900, up 600, down 300.
Here's another one that we've never seen before, Ron. I mean, you fell right into my trap. The S&P 500's biggest ever gain over 50 trading days, biggest ever gain, just happened. The index rose for the 50 days ended Wednesday. That would have been last Wednesday by 40%, the most since it was restructured to include 500 companies in what year class? 1957.
57.
Ron, that was before we were born.
That was.
It's just crazy. According to data from Bloomberg, peak gains of more than 20% occurred seven times between 1975 and 2009, and the S&P 500 moved higher each time in the next 12 months. That average advance was 17%. Shay, did you have a stat related to that as well?
Well, there's a couple stock market stats here, so I can go into those if you want to.
Please.
The S&P 500 has gained 43.4% total return through the close of trading. That's last Friday, June 5th, 2020, since falling to a bear market low close on March 23rd of 2020. So that's BTN Research. The S&P 500 has averaged 10.2% per year total return over the 25 years ending December 31st of 2019. So that's kind of interesting because when, as an advisor, you say you should plan on an average return of
much lower. We've been moving in the range, estimating the financial plan that we run for clients is estimating in the range of 4.5 to 5.5% or so per year. So, given a diversified portfolio, that helps people understand. Given I have all of these pieces and parts I'm trying to pull together, what can I expect given my own risk tolerance, the return from my portfolio? That's significant in terms of helping them to figure that out.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
And I'm the other financial advisor, Heidi Thompson.
And I'm Shay Pataja. I put the fun in financial.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio with Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, and Shay Pataja on WTCM.
Thank you, Ron. Just yesterday I was talking to a couple, and we were talking about their risk tolerance, and they said, well, Dennis, when the meeting was done, we already feel better having talked to you. And that is a part of getting together with your financial advisor. Hopefully he or her are helping you with more knowledge, more understanding, and a better comfort level with what's going on in the economy, possibly, and or what's going on with your own finances, removing the mystery, helping you understand this. This is what we do. Conversation with another couple a couple of days ago. They have a lot of pieces and parts that they're trying to draw together and a lot of change that's going to continue to be happening throughout their retirement. And my solve to their concerns were, let's run a financial plan because we can bring all these pieces together. And what did he say? Well, I'm completely comfortable with this, pretty much. He said, but I don't know that we've communicated all this between us as a couple. And you could see, to me, what I viewed was almost a look of relief, knowing that we were going to help them figure out all of these details. What are the parts? How are they going to make sense? What might you plan for the future? And how's that going to impact you? How are you going to do this? That learning is significant in terms of the financial plan, and that's why I love doing the financial plan. So if you do want to get involved with that, we have all the details at our office. Call Meg, 231-947-3992, and we offer this to both clients and people who are not yet clients. So you can figure this out and gain a better understanding, given as we've talked about, trying to guess what's going to happen in the future, it's a fool man's charge to try to do that in a lot of respects.
Well, and to clarify for people listening, the difference between meeting with you and Heidi versus getting a full financial plan done, the financial plan is a process that you go through with mm-hmm. Nathan Prout, and that's the details, going through the budget, the dreams, the things you plan on spending money. It takes everything that Dennis and Heidi have talked to you about and put it into a very specific plan so you can look at your potential success in retirement.
What a great thing to do, to be able to say, you know, we hadn't thought about this. It'd been kind of possibly ruminating back there, but here's what I'd like to do 5 years out, and hearing the both of you as a couple perhaps, or even if you're an individual, how could this work for me? Can I include this aspect? Here are the wants. Here are the things that we'd really like to accomplish together. And then all of a sudden, of course, then your retirement can become so much more fulfilling, because all these wants and dreams can get put down in writing, and you can see whether or not they're achievable. And or if they're not, why not, and how might you make adjustments? That's the fun stuff, I think. So, Heidi, before we get into the rest of the stats, we also have some Social Security information for those who are still working and collecting Social Security benefits.
That's right. So, through our affiliation with Ed Slott's advisor group, they've been offering a new newsletter on Social Security, because I tell you, there are a lot of confusing rules with Social Security, and Dennis and I consistently get questions from clients or prospects that are just don't understand the rules because they're so complex and there's a lot of competing information. So getting ready for this, it sort of made me smile because I'm going out there and I needed to come up with some definitions as to what Social Security counted as income and the IRS determined to be income. And of course, even though they are part of the same entity, the U.S. government, their definitions are different. So I guess that shouldn't surprise me, but it did make me smile a little bit that just because one arm says something doesn't mean the other arm.
Their definitions of income are different?
Their definitions of income. So the situation that we're going to talk about today are for people who are planning to start drawing on their Social Security benefit, which you can do at 62. But that would be what is called before your full retirement age. Your full retirement age is the age based on your date of birth, what you would receive as a benefit at that point in time. You are allowed to claim early, but there are some consequences of that decision. And one of the first things you might want to think about if you're younger than your full retirement age is, are you still working? And if the answer is yes, then you want to be aware that there are earnings limits that are imposed on how much an individual may earn and still collect benefits. The rule only applies to earned income of the early filer and not to the earnings of a spouse. So that's something to keep in mind. If you're married and you're going to claim your benefit early, they're going to base that earnings cap on just your earnings and not your combined earnings, which is more positive than the other way. So once you reach full retirement age, however, so even if you claim at 62 and your full retirement age is 67, that earnings cap will go away. So you may ask, well, what is that earnings cap? How much can I earn and not have my benefits reduced? And that would be for 2020, $18,240.
Now, is this for an individual or for a couple, Heidi?
This is for the individual.
It's always qualified based on the individual and not the couple in this respect, correct?
Correct. Yep. And so you may say, what happens if I earn more than that? Well, if you earn over that, the excess earnings reduce Social Security benefits by 50% of the income over that threshold.
Now, what earnings are we talking about here?
This is income as defined by Social Security.
Which is what?
Okay, so Social Security counts wages from a job or net profit from self-employment, as well as bonuses, commissions, vacation pay, sick pay, everything reported on your W-2 statement, as well as tips or other compensation, such as royalties, not reported by an employer.
Okay, Ron, so all that vacation pay you're getting once you start collecting Social Security, if you collect before your full retirement age, you might want to reconsider that, okay? Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Okay, great.
Okay, so I do have an example here to sort of illustrate how this can impact in a certain situation. So the person we're talking about is Mary. Mary is planning to file for benefits on July 1st of 2020. That's her 62nd birthday. Having been born in 1958, Mary's full retirement age is 66 and 8 months. By filing at age 62, Mary will receive 71.7% of her full retirement age benefit. So she's taking a lower amount. And then Mary will earn this year, of her, when she's going to start her benefits, $26,000 in 2020. So that's over that limit we talked about, causing excess income of $7,760, which will reduce her benefits by half of that, or $3,880. So it's going to impact what she's going to receive in Social Security benefits.
What would be, like, how much do you think Mary might be receiving in her Social Security that would be cut in half?
Well,
if she was going to get, like, I mean, mm-hmm. So you say if she was going to get $30,000 a year in Social Security, they'd cut that down to 15, right? Because she went over the 18,000 mark?
No.
So in our example, she is going to any amount that she makes over that earnings cap, which is that $18,000 number.
Right.
That amount is the amount that they're going to use for the basis of how much they're going to be.
Oh, half of what she went over.
Right.
All right. So 18 is the limit. She made 26. I'm rounding off here. So that's 8,000 over. So they'll take 4,000 and take that out of her Social Security.
Yes.
Okay.
A little over $300 a month.
Okay.
Now, you might say, why am I doing this? I'm taking this huge cut of my Social Security benefits for working, you know, for getting income, earned income. So go ahead, Heidi.
Okay, so this next part is sort of the unexpected consequence of doing this, where people don't understand. Maybe if they're going to reduce the benefits, people think, hey, they'll take it out a little bit every month. But that's not how it turns out. In this scenario, monthly benefits will not be paid to Mary until the excess is recovered. The delay is calculated by dividing the 50% of the excess earnings by Mary's monthly benefit. Mary will not receive benefits in this calculation until month 5.
Okay.
So she has to
pay first.
So people thinking, hey, it's going to reduce my benefit. It may not be taken out on a monthly basis. It could stop that payment for a couple of months. And if you're living on a budget or, you figured it close to that dollar, that could have an unintended consequence for you having to have an alternate source of funds to make up that difference.
So in this, Mary works, she makes 18 grand. She gets 30,000, we're just saying Social Security. However, they're going to take 4,000 out of her Social Security, right? So it brings it down to 26 plus 18 is 44,000. So she makes 44,000 on the year only for doing $18,000 worth of work.
So that's why you might want to rethink
right?
this idea of drawing Social Security if you're still going to work and you expect to make over that limit.
The $18,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So just our key takeaways from this is One, only income from employment is considered, not from other sources such as dividends, rents, IRA distributions, or pensions. So if you have an alternate source of income, it may not be as hit your budget as much. Mm-hmm. And maybe instead of working, you want to look at taking money from a different source like your employer plan or your IRA, which is not counted towards that $18,000 limit.
We often are counseling clients about that. Now, necessarily, it is a little bit more uncomfortable, perhaps, to be drawing money out of your savings because you're waiting for your Social Security benefits. But your Social Security benefits, when you're waiting, are growing at the rate of 8% plus any cost of living increases. Pretty tough to get that guaranteed rate out there in just about anything that you might consider. Now, the other thing is, well, what if I have another purpose for it? This is a conversation with a client and a spouse. She is 68 right now. They have another purpose for it. She's already waited 6 years for her Social Security benefits. In their particular case, it made sense for them to collect right away, given the other value decisions that we're making as a part of this. So just make certain that you're aware of the playing field when it comes to this. Am I going to take a cut of my benefits? How much are those benefits going to be taxed? And do I really need that income from that source? Or do I have other areas, perhaps, that I could be drawing the income? Maybe she or he just wants to convince the other person in that couple to go out and continue working where they might not have regularly done that. You see what I'm saying? All right. There may be other things that are moving parts in that picture.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.